VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk on VCY America. As many of you know, here in the United States, we have seen the heavy hand of government in the response to COVID-19. They determined which businesses were essential and which ones were not. They told us how close we could be to someone else, whether our children could go to school, even if our children could play outside with their neighborhood friends. We saw a playground shut down, people arrested who defied playground orders. We've seen people put on the no-fly list for having their mask down too long between bites or taking a drink of water on an airplane. Families been kicked off flights because their preschooler struggled to wear a mask. We could go on and on with such stories of what has transpired over the last 14-some months, but most egregious to many was the government mandate of church closures. Most were told, you cannot meet. Others were told how many could be in their auditorium or if they could sing or not. Churches defying such orders were met with heavy fines. Just in the last couple of weeks, the court struck back at the state of California for their oppressive sanctions on the church. It's not just here in the U.S., though, ladies and gentlemen, but in countries around the world, the shutdown has taken place. The orders have come forth. Do not meet. Today, we are introducing you to a pastor from Canada who was visited by health authorities, accompanied by multiple police officers, whom he was ordered to close down the church. Well, this past month, he was arrested by a SWAT team. His crime? Refusing to shut down his church, allowing worship to take place. Joining with us today is Pastor Artur Pawlowski, pastor of Street Church in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Pastor Pawlowski, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me in.
Pastor, you're not native to Canada. Tell us a little bit about your background. I understand you grew up behind the Iron Curtain.
Yes, I grew up in Poland under the boots of the Soviets behind the Iron Curtain. So I grew up in a country and I have seen firsthand the atrocities of the communism and socialism. I've seen the abuse of power. I've seen the uniformed, gangsters, wannabe gangsters, because they were not police officers. They were acting like gangsters, hired by mafia, beating people up, arresting them for no reason. There was this famous saying police officers had, give us a man and we'll find something on that man. And then you thought to yourself, I was arrested. I don't know really what wrong have I done. I did not break any laws. I just listened to a European radio. You could go to jail for 5 years for that crime. You could, if you were found reading a pamphlet outside of approved propaganda machinery, you could be tortured and go to jail for a year. If you were caught with one American dollar, you could go to jail. I mean, the terror was at every corner, and that's exactly what we're seeing right now. It's a medical terror. It's a hybrid between the fascism and communism, socialism, that we are witnessing in front of our eyes. You said to yourself, I've done nothing wrong, and surely the courts will vindicate me because we have a constitution. Poland, from 1945, when Poland was taken by the Soviets, to 1989, where finally the communists collapsed, we had a constitution, but no one followed it. The courts were corrupted. The courts were only ruling according to the wishes of the Communist Party. So if you think in America that your constitution is going to protect you, you're mistaken. The history is teaching us that if people will not rise up and stop the bully will continue bullying, and evil will never stop. Evil needs to be stopped. Those wannabe tyrants, they will continue on their path of taking everything away from you and controlling every aspect of your life. And that's why That was my childhood. That's what I saw in front of my eyes at left and right. Every aspect of people's lives was controlled, from what you're eating, how much you're allowed to eat, the food stamps, where you can go, with whom you can go, which university, which job. I mean, everything was controlled. What you're listening on TV, what you're reading in the papers, I mean, it was insanity.
What led you to Canada?
Freedom. I mean, I had a wonderful life. We immigrated to Greece, and that was my El Dorado. I was a very successful businessman. My father had his own business. I was making so much money, I didn't need to go to America for bread. That was my, you know, like I said, El Dorado. But we came to Canada for one and one reason only, for freedom. Hmm. When I met with the embassy, with a representative from Canadian government, this is what I was told with my parents and my brother. Come to Canada. This is the freest country on earth. You will never be hunted down for your faith. We're not like communists. We are not like you grew up under. Come, this is a truly free country. And here I am today being arrested by SWAT team, and the charges, inciting people to come to church and opening a church building.
My. What year was that you came to Canada?
We emigrated in 1990 to Greece and 1995 to Canada.
Okay. We're going to jump forward many, many years, but COVID-19 hit. You're pastoring Street Church at that time, is that correct?
Yeah, I actually pastor two churches. One is called Street Church, which four times a week we feed the homeless people on the streets of our city. We created the church for those that don't want to go to church or they are kicked out from churches, from buildings because of their state, drugs, alcohol, the way they look, the way they smell, you know, etc. So we created a church for them on the streets where we also feed them, we pray, we worship. Okay. But I also pastor a regular church in the building where I teach theology and history. So I have two churches that I run, one outside and one in the building.
Okay, so COVID-19 hit. When did orders first come regarding from the government or the health department that impacted your church?
March last year, I was feeding people for 20 years, 22 actually right now, and I was told by the city hall I have to stop feeding the poor, and half of my clients are mentally ill because Canada, in their wisdom, shut down mental institutions, so those people are roaming the streets. If you don't feed them, they're going to whack your head, they're going to break into your car, into your garage, into your house. So when we created the church, it was every second day, so they can come, we can feed them, they can take food for the next day. The government said that we are in the middle of the greatest pandemic ever. We have to shut down. We cannot feed those people. And, of course, I said, if I don't feed them and if you're not feeding them because you're shutting down everything, they're going to start killing people. I mean, people need to eat. So I disagreed with the orders of the mayor. I appealed it to the minister, Urban Affairs, the minister of health. They didn't care to even reply to me. So I continued feeding the poor until 12 officers showed up. I was the first clergyman in Canada to get COVID ticket, $1,200. My parishioner was attacked by the police, physically shoved, assaulted, and I was told I'll be arrested and I will end up with $1 million ticket. So that's what triggered this fight until December. I would have police officers coming. They would take pictures, videotaping, harassing, intimidating my parishioners, my volunteers. December, the federal and provincial government and municipal government declared that they're canceling Christmas. And I mean, we all were in shock. Like, the Walmart is operating, abortion clinics, mm-hmm. liquor stores, marijuana, IKEAs. I mean, everything is open, but they're shutting down Christmas. They've told us that we cannot even have our, you know, siblings for a coffee. No family dinners, no Christmas whatsoever. Something from hell. And I'm opening Christmas and I'm inviting everyone to come to our Christmas celebration. So we had a lot of people showing up. We were giving hundreds of gifts to the homeless. We had Christmas carolers. It was an incredible time. We had AAA steaks for the poor. It was a joyous time. We had preachers and testimonies. And we also had over 100 police officers, 52 police cars, 20 cops on bicycles. They were taking pictures, videotaping us, and I ended up with 11 COVID tickets from that day. So that's outside. But they left us be in the other facility in the building for a while until the beginning of this year when they came. And listen what they did. They blocked our entrance to our parking lot, intimidating and harassing our parishioners. There was a health inspector from China, that couldn't speak even English. And then we had the police, bylaw officers, and peace officers blocking the entry. We were videotaped. We were harassed. And they wanted to come in they said, we need to check your facility. And we told them, no, that's against the Criminal Code of Canada, Section 176, that prohibits you to interfere with the church gathering. That's the law. And they said, we need to check if you're wearing a mask. And I said, that's a bylaw. You are trying to enforce a bylaw for $100 ticket, and you want to break four criminal charges, criminal laws. I said no. So it took me an hour to fend off those hyenas, only for them to come back a few weeks later, and they changed their tactics. They brought their big Zoom cameras, and they were taking pictures of our children, of our women. And if you know anything about Gestapo, the fascists, and the communists, KGB, you know that that was always the tactic of those wannabe tyrants. They would, if they couldn't get to a man, they would always intimidate that man or harass or blackmail, if you will, that man with showing him pictures of his wife, showing him pictures of his children. And this is what they said. Well, maybe we cannot come to you. Maybe we will not do anything to you. You know, you think you're a tough guy, but we're going to come after your wife. We know where she worked. We'll go after your children. We know where they go to school. We'll see how tough you are then. And they are starting to use the same tactics right here in Canada. That's why I call them Gestapo and communists. Mm-hmm. It's not just because they showed up one day. No, this is an ongoing, over a year, non-stop harassment. I got 29 tickets, three court orders, two injunctions, and two contempt of court. So Easter comes, our holiest day, Passover celebration. And I've told them many times they're not welcome. They're not allowed to come in the capacity, in their uniforms, their guns, their tasers, and the whole nine yards to the church. If they want to make an appointment, I will open the church for them. They can inspect whatever they want to do. They can do it, but not during the church service where people are on their knees, they're praying, they're worshiping God, and they want to do it in peace. However, I look to my left, and behold, they're just walking into a holy place like into a restaurant. You know, can you imagine armed officers with guns, tasers, handcuffs, just walking in like they own the place?
Yeah.
So the only thing I had in my heart was, get out, you Gestapo. I mean, you're acting like Gestapo. You're acting like communists. Even communists had a lot more respect for the places of worship than those people right now have, you know, for us. They call us unessential services. I mean, it's unbelievable what is happening. So, as you know from the video that I was told over a billion people watched, the only thing I had in my heart is get out. That's it. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. I had to tell them get out over 30 times. Finally, they go, only to come back with a court order. And listen to this. The judge that they managed to find that has total disregard to the law and order, the criminal code 176, he gave them the power. And his name, his last name is this, Gates. David Gates has given them power, and this is what they can do. They can come anytime they want, with whomever they want, so they brought SWAT team, and any day of the week. Can you imagine? They can just walk in like they own the place anytime they want, and there is absolutely nothing I can do, or I will be arrested. He also gave them the power that they can use any force necessary, anywhere they want. Can you imagine? They can come to my office, they can break the door of my house, they can go to a restaurant if I'm eating with my family, they can do whatever they want and use any force they want to arrest me.
We're going to pause right here. Pastor Artur Pawlowski with us here today on Crosstalk. Yes, folks, he was arrested, and you're hearing the background. Right after the break, I'm going to play just an excerpt from that video that went viral across this nation where he ordered the authorities to get out. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there any evidence that man and dinosaurs lived together?
Yes, indeed there is, Chris. The Bible even describes dinosaur-like beasts in the book of Job, and Job lived after the flood. Also, we see numerous places where native peoples drew pictures of dinosaur-like beasts. Almost every nation around the world has legends of dragons, huge reptilian beasts that sound very much like our modern-day reconstructions of dinosaurs. Recently, some very interesting burial stones have been excavated from tombs in South America, which clearly show dinosaurs and humans together. These stones date from long before dinosaurs were reconstructed from their fossils. As far as we know, no dinosaurs are alive today, but we have good evidence that dinosaur-like beasts existed along with humans in the not-too-distant past. It all started back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor Artur Pulowski is with us. He knows what it was like behind the Iron Curtain. He experienced it firsthand. Why did he go to Canada? For freedom. He was promised freedom. It will not happen to you in Canada like what you saw in Poland. Well, folks, here is the scene. You've heard it before on Crosstalk.
Please get out. Get out of this property. Immediately get out. Okay. Get out of this property immediately. Out. I don't want to hear anything. Out of this property immediately. I don't want to hear a word. Out. Out. Out of this property immediately until you come back with a warrant. Out. 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 Out of this property. Immediately out. Immediately go out and don't come back. I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out. Out. Out of this property, you Nazis. Out. Out.
We're just going to interrupt here because this goes on for a couple more minutes. But, Pastor, this the backdrop you aired here in this first segment with us, this is built upon many, many months of intimidation by the authorities against you personally and against your church.
That's right. This was ongoing. You know, at times we had, you know, 6, 7 to 20 officers monitoring my speaking and my behavior, what we're doing, how we're doing. We were videotaped. So this whole thing was over a year of nonstop harassment and intimidation. Of course, tickets after tickets and threats. I had police officers coming to my house during the night hours. And just to give me a bylaw ticket that had $50 penalty, just to intimidate my children in the middle of dinner, in the middle of night. And I had officers, detectives, so the highest paid police officers, delivering a bylaw ticket to me, to my door. So they were building up this pressure for many, many months. And people are wondering why I've called them Gestapo and Nazis and communists. Because when you behave like that, you are clearly showing your true colors. You're not interested in law and order. They're not officers anymore, or they're not officers of the law. They're gangsters. Mm-hmm. That's how they behave. They have total disregard to the law and order. In Canada, before the fundamental rights, before the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, there is a preamble, and this is what it says. Whereas Canada acknowledges the supremacy of God and the rule of law. Now, the supremacy of God is out the window. They don't care. They say you're unessential services. And then the rule of law, there is no rule of law anymore. Yeah. It's what they say because they got more guns.
Now, they knew where you live, but yet, and so they gave you tickets there, but they didn't serve you papers there. They came to your church on purpose on Passover weekend?
Yes, and that's the point that I was making, and that's the point we have been making in the court. They knew me. They knew where I lived. They came many times before. They gave me tickets many. They could give me another ticket. Fine, we'll fight in court. They have chosen purposely to interrupt the holiest day in a year because this has never been about health. You know, don't kid yourself. What you're seeing right now has nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do with law and order. It has everything to do with control, with destruction of the middle class, eliminating small and medium-sized businesses, because in order to control a nation, to enslave, to subdue a nation, you have to eliminate people that are smarter than just the propaganda wants us to be. People are well-traveled. They have seen things. They can afford a lawyer. They can fight the government if you tick them off. Those people need to be eliminated, and that's what I witnessed in Poland. They are doing a repetition of history. Adolf Hitler, he eliminated first. We have to understand everything he did was lawful according to his party. And first he eliminated the opposition in his own country. The first victims of the Nazi party were the Germans. The first victims of the Stalinism were his own people. I mean, he murdered 60 of his own people, 60 million of his own people. And he did it lawfully according, of course, to his communistic party. What we're seeing right now is a repetition of history. If we will not rise up now, if we're not going to stand up against this tyranny now, I'm telling you, this is not going to stop. It's going to increase. We got to rise up. We got to fight this. We have to do a Martin Luther King Jr. style, Mahatma Gandhi civil disobedience. So that's what I have been engaged since the very beginning, civil disobedience.
Now, I find that interesting because Canada allowed for other protests to be going on, did they not?
You know, that's a fascinating thing because they always tell us, follow the rules, obey the orders, we're doing this for your own benefit. Me and my brother David, we had a SWAT team coming to our church service a few weeks after the gates order, and I was told by the lawyers I have to open the door for them. If they want to come in with a SWAT, there's nothing I can do. They can really hurt me and others. So I was expecting to be arrested at the pulpit, at the altar, if you will. But they dropped something on the ground, and they left. And I was told the Gestapo left. They said, okay, good, let's continue the church. When everybody went home, we were driving back to my house. We were stopped by SWAT team, anti-terrorist group, in the middle of a busy highway, and I was told I am arrested. Excuse me, I am arrested for what? For inciting people to come to church and for opening the church. And I was told that I have broken a court order, an injunction, that was dropped on the ground without me being there, without me seeing what's there, and they left, and they considered this a serve.
Order. Oh my.
I was arrested under an order that was done in secret. My lawyers and me, we were not notified about this order. We didn't know anything about this order. We didn't know about the content, and we were not properly served. However, for them, it's okay. They drop something on the ground, they leave, and they say, you're served.
My.
I was taken with my brother David to prison. We were deprived of sleep for 3 days and two nights, and behold, we were thrown in a tank, they call it a tank, in the filthiest cell you can imagine. It looked like someone went and peed all over that cell. And, of course, everything that was done to us was done because of health reasons, right? And in the same cell where you got mold on the walls and mold on the ceiling, it looked like no one painted that stuff. There was write-ups from 1992. All of this was done to us to protect us in the name of health. I mean, insanity. We were forced to stay on concrete for 3 days and two nights. We were shivering and in the filthiest cell you can imagine. And all of that was done in the name of health. We were released after we seen the judge and we faced the court. Just last week we had a trial already. The judge reserved his decision for June 28th. And 2 days after we were released, so when they kicked us out yelling at us, they kicked us from prison, and we were followed by a helicopter and an unmarked police vehicle all the way to my home. 2 days later, imams called their people for action because of the Palestinian protests. So we had 2,000 people in the same city of Calgary in Alberta, where the premier of Alberta comes in public in front of the reporters, and he says, I will crush Pavlovskis. So he is after me, my kids, my wife, my parents, my brother. I will crush Pavlovskis. He gives a green light to imams and the mosques to gather with thousands of people.
My.
If you don't believe me, go to my YouTube channel, Artur Pavlovski TV, and you will see the videos yourself. Thousands. No social or physical distancing. No, many people were not wearing masks. They were doing everything that we were charged with, but they could do no police, no AHS, no bylaw officers, no harassment. Not one Muslim in the country got a ticket so far. No one imam got a ticket or has been arrested. We have a Muslim mayor, Nahed Nenshi, and we have a Muslim sympathizer, Premier Jason Kenney, with a Muslim sympathizer from Nigeria, Minister of Justice Madu. All of those people are conspiring to shut down Judeo-Christian values, to destroy Christian churches and synagogues in our province.
And yet it's you that's been portrayed, even in the media, as a white supremacist.
You know, I mean, that's a shocking thing. Half of my church congregants are colored people. We have people from Jamaica, we got North American natives, we got Asians, we got Chinese, we got all kinds of people. Half of our church are colored people. Of course, I'm partially colored too because my grandma is from Romania, and so my father looks like a gypsy. And we started orphanages in Africa, medical clinic. We started churches in Kenya. I visit and do mission in Barbados, Belize, all, of course, black people. I was an honorary speaker in Belize, in Barbados, in the main prison over there for the graduates. I work with the black people all the time. Half of my people that I feed on the streets of Calgary are Native Americans. And yet those people are coming in front of the cameras and they say, Art Pulaski is a racist, he's white supremacist, he's white nationalist. And because of what they say, the premier, I'll crush Pulaski's, someone tried to burn us alive just a few days after we were released from jail.
You were the target of arsonists. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so during the night, 11:30, my wife is looking at the window and she sees a huge commotion, police vehicles and, you know, lights. And I thought, okay, they came to arrest me again for whatever reason, because I have become a political prisoner, a political target, because I exposed political corruption within the government. And it turned out that there is a fire, so we went out just to see what is burning, and we thought it's a neighbor's house. But behold, it was our house. Someone put our garage on fire in the middle of the night, trying to burn us and my three children and my wife alive, because the premier and the minister, so-called minister of justice and the Muslim mayor, said that I am a hateful man, I'm a racist, white supremacist, and I need to be stopped. Like I said, the premier says to the mainstream media, I will crush Pavlovsky's. And then just a few days after that, I was assaulted, attacked, when I went with my daughter to buy her a birthday cake, and a guy comes to me out of the blue and starts punching my head in front of my daughter. So what the politicians are doing, not only they are arresting pastors right now, but they are creating such a hate towards anyone that is Christian that now you got physical attacks on anyone that dares to stand for his faith.
And other Christian pastors, I think Pastor Tim Stevens of Fairview Baptist was also arrested.
He was not only arrested in front of his kids, they came back, they, of course, served him a wrong document that should never apply to us. They're using a document that was created by another judge for another city in northern part of Alberta for somebody else. But that judge added Joe Doe and Jane Doe, and those AHS wannabe tyrants, with the help of the gangsters, police officers, they're using the document that was never intended for us and the pastors and the churches against us. So Pastor Tim, he gets this order, he gets arrested, they release him saying, oh, we made a mistake, only this Sunday to serve him again the same document.
My.
Pastor Coates, he goes and he spends 6 weeks in maximum prison because he dared to open the church. He comes out and he preaches. So what the government did, he brought over 100 suppression, gang suppression team, and they fence his entire church. There is still to this day, months later, a triple fence preventing his church and him using his facility. Can you imagine? We are not talking about China, Russia, we're talking about Canada.
Folks, this is amazing. I mean, a triple fence around the church, yet you allow all the imams to come together to protest really against Israel, pro-Palestinian rallies, no arrests, no warrants issued there, not even a single ticket. But Christian pastors are being targeted in Canada. More after the break. This is Crosstalk.
From Rich Cristiano comes the captivating film, Unidentified.
Keith's gone.
What do you mean, gone? I just saw him go in there.
Just what he said, he's gone.
I can't find Darren.
Keith's gone too.
Okay, that's impossible. We just saw them.
Someone find Keith and Darren.
I think it's that rapture thing.
What?
That Christian rapture thing, I'm telling you.
What rapture thing?
The rapture, the thing in the Bible.
Okay, that's crazy.
I'm telling you, I got a feeling it happened. All right, let's call some churches and see what they're saying.
Vince, where's your phone book?
Has anyone talked to City Hall yet?
Vince.
Will someone please call news services?
Vince, I need your phone book.
I don't have one.
Lauren, where's your phone book?
What do you mean you still can't find her?
Lauren, can I have your phone book?
Well, look under the bed or in the basement. She's got to be there somewhere.
Will somebody throw me their phone book?
Vince, it's in the drawer there. Okay, you're really starting to scare me here. Are you sure you've checked absolutely everywhere?
Unidentified is available on DVD for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $8 more. Call 1-800-729-9829.
friends, I hope you understand Canada is our neighbor to the north. That's not too far from the U.S. We're going to have a message for America coming up here as well. But we're speaking with Pastor Artur Pawlowski and pastors in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, both a brick-and-mortar building as well as outside on the streets, ministering to the hungry, to the homeless. He's been accused of being a white supremacist, yet the vast number of people that he ministers to are people of different skin color, of different backgrounds, and is ministering to them. The government goes so far as to one church putting up a triple fence around that church. You've got the minister, they're saying, we will crush Pawlowski. We're going to crush him. We have also the situation where another pastor arrested. They're holding services. They're holding services, gathering people to worship, and they're charged with inciting people to come to church, whereby imams are allowed to come and rally in support of Palestine. Folks, something's wrong here. He's telling his story here today on Crosstalk, but it's not just a story, folks. It ought to be a wake-up call to us. Pastor, one other thing here. I understand that you talked about things happening even at your church. I understand they were throwing nails in your church parking lot and graffiti and things like this, too?
Yes, we have been targeted left and right. So the LGBTQ is targeting us for our biblical views. We got BLM attacking us left and right. Our church was vandalized. We had a dog poop on our parking. Then they threw nails, trying to puncture our tires. My house was on fire. I was assaulted physically, and the media is not stopping. Every couple of days they're doing another hit piece on me personally and on the church. And here is the interesting part: we just moved to that neighborhood just a few months ago, and because the winters here are very tough. And we didn't have opportunity to go to the neighborhood yet. And the media are nonstop writing stories that we're terrorizing. Listen to this, terrorizing the neighborhood. Why? Because we're not wearing a mask.
My.
We're terrorizing the neighborhood because we are inside the building just to ourselves. And we're not wearing masks and people are afraid of their lives. So this narration is happening. And this is what I know about the corrupted government officials. When they have absolutely nothing solid, when they cannot accuse you of something tangible and real, they will use your racist, your white supremacist, you are this, you are that, because they have absolutely nothing. And I witnessed that when they were doing this to President Donald Trump. They called him a racist. They called him, white supremacist. And people were attacked physically just for wearing, a hat. So this is happening. I have a message for America, because Poland is a peculiar country, and we have been connected with United States of America for a very long time. Kościuszko, general, was fighting for the independence of the United States. Poland is the second country on earth that implemented constitution after the United States of America. And during the Soviets, during the wannabe tyrants, no one cared about human rights. No one cared about constitution. We were before the courts and we said, but we have rights. But the Constitution allows us to do and say what we're saying, but the courts were corrupted, no one cared. The police were corrupted, the soldiers were corrupted. The same thing is coming to United States if you're not going to be proactive. You got to rally together. You cannot allow division. In 1981, when finally Polish people put their act together and they united under the banner of solidarity with Lech Wałęsa, they took it to the streets. It was over for the bullies. I'm telling you, there is more of us than of them. 50,000 communists were ruling over 36 Poles. The moment the Poles said, come on, we are not your slaves, and they took it to the streets peacefully. They didn't have guns. They did not need guns. They paralyzed the entire economy. And they said, out of the offices, we don't want you. We're not allowing you to rule over us like some kind of masters treating us like slaves. It was over for the communists. There was nothing else they could do. Non-compliance. Simply say to them, no, and get out. Get out of my business. Get out of my business. Churches. Get out of my educational system. Get out of the politics. You tyrants. You communist fascists. Get out. I'm telling you, there's more of us than of them, and we have that power, but we have to be proactive. We have to start using that unified power. You have to take to the streets. If we don't do it now, those people are growing and they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And who knows, maybe tomorrow we're going to lose that opportunity, that window of opportunity that we have right now. So that's why I think the message that I'm having right now to you is, come on, we need you. We need you to rise up because you are our neighbors. All the eyes of the world are now focused on the United States. Everyone is looking. The free world is looking at you and say, rise up, your ego. Start flying. Show us the way. Because if you don't do it, we are all done.
Yeah, yeah. And you've indicated that the persecution of Christians across Western nations like Canada are a sign of a communist takeover. You've got a message to the church in America here today. And we have to understand this is all under the masquerading of health protocols. We know what's best for you. And this is what's, you know, you must follow these health protocols here. But it is all about control. It's about takeover. It is really coming down with a heavy hand of government against the church.
Yes, and the data, right, because some people can say, come on, they're doing this to save lives. But the truth is now after 14, 15 months of this craziness, now we know the data. And here in the city of Calgary, they're arresting us for just simply opening the church for our own benefit, throwing us into the filthiest place that if I was not sick, I would be sick 100% after that, treatment. From the government that did it for my own benefit and my own health. Now the data is showing the truth. In the city of Calgary, we had less hospitalizations in 2020 than in 2018 and 2019. Do you know that in the province of Alberta, we had our record low since 2015 if it comes to ICU admissions? No. Do you know that the statistics for the past 20 years, if it comes to people that are dying, is identical to what we have seen 20 years, 15 years, 10 years ago? It's about 500 to 1,000 people more every year statistically because there's more people coming, emigrating to this country, to this province. So nothing adds up. And, of course, censorship, like I've seen during the communism, you're not allowed to have a secondary opinion. So doctors are censored. People are kicked out from air. You know, they're deplatformed. Everyone that says, hey, but the data is showing a totally different thing, are being removed, harassed, attacked, threatened. The whole thing has been run by terror. And that's how communism and fascism runs their country and their people. Terror, terror, terror. You never know if the restrictions are lifted or not. There's confusion, constant confusion. You never know if you broke the law or not. That's how they like it. Disinformation, confusion, terror, fear. You are to be afraid of another human being. Snitch lines. Everything they're doing right now is straight from Karl Marx and Engels from Mein Kampf. Believe me, Google it up, research yourself, and you will see your eyes will pop up and you says, my God, they're just following the script.
Now, Pastor, you mentioned June 28th. What's going to be happening on June 28th?
The judge is going to render his verdict if we're guilty of the contempt of court orders, the Gates order that gave them this enormous power to do with me as they please, and also the order that never applied to me. It was always for the whistle stop in northern part of Alberta, and the judge gave them power for something else, but they're using this against us. So those are two court cases, two contempt of court order. They're going to be, the verdict is going to come on the 28th of June.
Okay, now, so people here in the U.S. and around the world who may be listening to the program today, certainly we ask for their prayers for you, for the pastors in Canada. What else can people here in the U.S. do?
Well, we have, of course, a legal team, which is not cheap, but we have that covered. What we're doing right now, we are raising funds for another set of legal team that will actually sue the government. We want to do what was done in California. We want to now be proactive, go after the villains, sue the politicians, go after the mainstream media, go after the AHS. So that's what we're doing right now, and it's not an easy fight because they have unlimited resources. They got many lawyers. But if we can manage to get one or two or three really, really powerful, good lawyers, that's what we want to do. And we're going to start file lawsuits against them. So if people want to help, people can e-transfer art@streetchurch.ca, art@streetchurch.ca, or using our website, www.streetchurch.ca, reachage.ca. There is PayPal. People can donate or they can send me a check. The information is right there on the website. So that way you can help us to keep fighting against this tyranny in a legal system. Also, you can spread the word around. I mean, the most powerful thing during solidarity movement was a unified voice that was spreading like a wildfire. More and more people were joining the movement. More and more people said, we will not comply. We're not going to collaborate or work or be subjected or subdued by the communists. And they refused to cooperate, and they paralyzed the entire country to a point the Polish people got their freedom back, and Poland became the best democracy on earth.
Friends, again, if you missed the web address, it is streetchurch.ca. Streetchurch.ca. And address you gave earlier, too, is art@streetchurch.ca. And other contact information you'll find there as well. I'd like to open our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest today, perhaps a brief comment. We don't have time for long stories, but if you have a brief comment or a question, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. With us today is Pastor Artur Pulowski. And pastors in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Other pastors have been arrested there as well. And friends, the intimidation. And when pastors would not back down, guess what? They go after the wives. They go after the children, intimidating through pictures and taking photographs and seeking to bring intimidation there. Try to scare them off by putting the graffiti on the church and nails in the parking lot and on it goes. And friends, this is what's happening in a country they said is free. It'll never happen here. Let's go to David in Superior, Wisconsin. David, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking the call, you guys. What this pastor is doing is perfect, because I want to pray, but I just want everybody to go to streetchurch.ca. Father God, we ask that you would give your full abundance of protection over the pastor, his congregants, and all who agree with him, that we must step up and not have a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. If we allow this tyranny to take root, it's bullying. And the way you allow a bully to excel at bullying is to allow yourself to be bullied. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor. God bless everyone. And I hope everybody is in your corner today and really shows out. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Jack in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Artur. I talked to you on the phone. I was privileged to be able to speak to you directly. And I know that nobody needs my confirmation, but wow, what a guy you are. We're praying for you. We admire you. We love you. God bless you. And I don't know, I just want to encourage you. And thank you, Jim, for having this hero, this true hero, on Crosstalk today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate your call and encouragement. And certainly the pastor here and other pastors are coming under fire for inciting people to worship the Lord. Isn't that what Scripture commands us to do? We'll be back in 1 minute with more of your calls. Guest Artur Pulowski with us here today, a pastor from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Tom Rentz is an attorney, and he worked with frontline medical doctors. They have just signed a temporary restraining order in federal court, in fact, in the Northern District of Alabama. What are they seeking to do? To stop the pushing of the COVID vaccine on children 16 years of age and under. The number of doctors testifying in this legal briefing is staggering, including one that was Family Physician of the Year in 2016. He said there are zero cases of young people 16 and under dying from COVID. And yet, we're forcing onto many of them, like 130 institutions to go to college now, the COVID vaccine that is not, by legal definition, a vaccine. It also has not been tested long-term, nor on pregnant women. It could make children sterile. We don't know what the consequences are to their immune system, and yet we're forcing it on children. I agree with their legal briefing. I'm Brandon House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Pastor Artur Pawlowski with us here today. Again, his website, streetchurch.ca. Streetchurch.ca. Let's go right back to the phone lines from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Israel, you're on the air.
Yes, so I have a question for him. Can you hear me?
You're on the air, Israel. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. My question is, do you believe it's a possibility that you are under attack from a satanic attack in where you are living there?
Well, I think anyone that is doing good and is pursuing holiness and is doing what God commands us to do is under a heavy attack, because we are fighting with a very, very corrupted system and evil individual, the devil. So, yeah, of course I am under heavy attack. I have been very vocal about corruption. I have been exposing corruption for the past 16 years of my public life. But on a you know, good note, greater is he that is in us than the one that is in them. We are, you know, the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. We have to believe that God is bigger than the enemy.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Israel. Let's go to Andrew in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Pastor Pawlowski. Gosh, it's exciting, the crazy thing you got going on up in Canada, but you're doing exactly what the Apostle Paul said, and that's contending for the faith. And I believe we'll just start believing in a holy God and acting like he's holy. I believe we'll start seeing some work turn around, and remind everybody also that Jesus actually told his disciples in the garden to take up a sword if necessary. Have a good one.
Okay, Andrew. And, you know, from the early part of his comment there, Pastor, I see the words, fear God, don't fear man. And that's where you're coming from here.
Yes.
Let's see. Our number 800-733-9829. We have Don in Rogers, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yes, Pastor. I've heard that China has got boots on the ground in camps near the Vancouver area. Can you verify that?
Yes, not just in Vancouver area. We have now jet pilots flying in Alberta. Chinese are being trained on our soil. That should really worry you, Americans,
yes.
Because the enemy is being trained right here under your noses.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Don. Let's go to Ron now, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Ron, you're on the air.
Thanks so much for taking my call, Jim. Arthur, it's an honor to be able to talk to you. I actually have Polish heritage. My grandparents moved to northeastern Wisconsin, near a little town, Pulaski. And so I took an interest originally. I saw, in fact, at our Calvary Chapel church I attend, they showed your original thing that happened at over
the video.
The Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you're, and I also saw your Street Advocate documentary, which I shared with many people.
Mm-hmm.
You got a powerful, incredible testimony. And I do pray for your family, your wife and children. I wanted to mention to you, because my brother actually moved up there. His wife is from Alberta.
Ryan, let's just cut it short. Go right to your question, please.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's any other churches in your area that are backing you up or able to unite with you.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, there is a number of them. However, we have 500 churches. I got two or three that are willing to pay the price. The rest of them, they're masked. They're not allowing people to come. They're checking temperature. They're not standing up. They're terrified. They don't want to lose their charitable status. So there's a huge fear. They're being run by terror, and that's a sad thing, because Jesus said that he's going to give us a spirit of sound mind and peace, not of fear. So we need to pray for them that they would rise up and do what David did, facing the giant.
Thank you, Ron. Irene in Delaware, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for speaking out, Pastor Pawlowski. I've seen you on TV. I've listened to you. And I have read the Communist Manifesto. I've shared it with many other people. And I'm so thankful that you brought that out, because that's exactly what's even happening here in America now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. We've been praying for you and all the other pastors that have been under attack over in Canada. God bless you, and thank you, because you are my hero. Mm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Irene. Robert in Mobile, Alabama, you're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if the pastor had tried to go to any government officials that are higher up, or the state or the country there in Alberta, other than the local government that's harassing them so much.
Okay.
Well, actually, the Alberta government is harassing us. Like I said at the beginning, the premier, Jason Kenney, that claims to be a Christian, by the way, he's a Catholic, and he said in front of the media outlets, "I'll crush Pawlowski." So we're talking about your governor, right? We have a premier, a governor of Alberta. He said that with the Minister of Justice, Madu, and all the other officials. So we are facing an enormous corruption coming from the highest levels of government, not just municipal.
So thank you for the call. And so regardless of what happens here on June 28th, whatever sentence is given down, is there another court that you have available to appeal to?
Yes, we're going to appeal it. If we're going to lose that one, we're going to appeal to the appeal court of Alberta. Then we have an option to go all the way to the Supreme Court in Canada. So this fight is not over and will not be over no matter what is happening. We will keep pushing, we'll keep fighting, we'll keep filing lawsuits against them. We'll not quit. We cannot quit. You see, we have a saying in our church, quitters never win and winners never quit.
Mm. We have 30 seconds left. What do you want to leave with the church in America?
A very quick message. Rise up. Stand up. I mean, if you truly believe in God, then you have to believe in what God is telling you. And he says, I'm looking for a man and a woman that will rise up and speak for us, will go for us. You have to be like the man of old. God, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Send me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to pay the price. You died on the cross for me. I'm willing to at least shine for you, to be the salt of the earth for others to also see the truth, because the Bible says the truth shall set the captives free.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Arthur Pawlowski with us. And again, folks, the website is streetchurch.ca. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for burdening our hearts, for taking a stand. We ask our listeners to be praying and also to take a stand. And thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Pastor Arthur Pawlowski with us here today. Folks, keep them in prayer. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.